Do we have an hour, 1 o'clock?
Hello, my name is Chris Gabriel. This is the Cultural Knowledge of Native Elders class. We're here with Edith Nagaya. And today we are talking about Quebec values. We all have this on the sheet. But I suppose the first question is, what are these Quebec values?
Quebec values are something that were handed down from elders to the young. So, and it was always common knowledge. They were never written down. I would hear my dad like saying, respect the elders and others, and respect the animals, the land, respect each other's family. So I will start off with the first respect values, because it's I don't have the year that it was put on paper, but I really appreciate that I shall see Elizabeth College, the North Shore Borough, whoever was involved in getting our Quebec values together and in writing. So the first one of the foremost, the first ones of our values is Kiksikshatikaganik, Kutukkananun, Allanun, Inuliagdinun. Respect for elders, others, and nature. And the next one is Ilagiginik, which is family, kinship, and roles. The third one, Siginatanyak. Siginya is like being stingy when we're breaking it down. Siginya is when don't, that's mine, you know. So Siginatanyak is like being able to give, share. So it's sharing. Siginatanyak. The fourth one, Inipiralanik, that's knowledge of language. Inipiralanik, that's knowing how to speak in Eskimo, knowing how to talk in Inipia. And the fifth one, Pamarignik, that's cooperation. Pamarignik in our language is like you help each other. Whenever you see somebody, you just go sit around and do anything. And especially elders, I think that's how we automatically are. Do in our culture, in our Inupiaq culture, we don't just watch an elder carrying bags or if they're getting down the stairs, we automatically go there and help them. And also cooperation is also in reference to whaling. Whaling, hunting, getting ready for any type of hunting, whether it's hunting caribou or going whaling. Cooperation, it's just being there for that person. And the sixth one Pekpakkutikaganek. That's love for one another. Love and respect for one another. Pekpakkutikaganek. And the seventh one, Hovenronik, which is humor. Hovenronik. And eighth, Amunyarnik, hunting tradition. Nagalikutikaganik, compassion. That, this love and respect for one another and also compassion. Nagalikutikaganik in our language is having compassion or sympathy. Like I said earlier about helping others, you know, who they need help. Or you see a poor person and out of respect for them, or that means having a compassion for another human being, to give him food, anything that can help. In our tradition, in our Inuk culture, our family, Andrew and Susie, I think have taken in somebody and who was part of the family. She was poor and nobody was able to take care of her, no other family members, whatever. And they had compassion to take her in. She helped raise the children, especially Uncle George, who's really close. That's why I named after that lady, Klyavsuk. So I honor her name. I honor her. All the Klyavsuk that I know honor this poor lady because we love diamonds and gold and looking nice. And that's honoring her. Klyavsuk. And so it feels really good to know, not out of court, what do you call it in English? Not out of bragging or trying to feel high or trying to look meticulous or trying to impress everybody. We don't do that. It's not for us to show off. And that's how I explain my Eskimo name as Klyavsuk, because I honor her. That's why I love these things and I like to look nice. It's not to be spiteful or, you know. So, next one is Kanyunyak, humility. In my case, when I was growing up, I was very outspoken. I didn't like anybody to tell me what to do. Very stubborn. Don't tell me what to do. I can do it myself. You know, it took me a while to be humble. And it's something that I practice a lot. I catch myself, and that's good. Whereas before, I was young and foolish and say, how dare you, you know. And I could confront somebody and I say, into their face and say whatever I wanted to say. And that was really foolish of me. But as the years went by, it was I who felt that. And I went after that person. This is a personal experience of me in getting to be humble, in achieving humility. Even though I hurt that other person, it was me that I was hurting the most. And when I did that, it was always in my conscience and I felt awful. My soul wasn't at rest. So it feels good to accept people just the way they are. And earlier I think I expressed, just if somebody attacks you verbally, emotionally, and tries to hurt you, today I can invisibly roll it up in a little ball and throw it back to them, and I said, I'm sorry, I don't want to get into an argument, you're feeling bad, you know, that's your responsibility, and walk away. Okay. Otherwise, 20 years ago, I would have been caught up in that negative energy. I would be controlled, I would be manipulated. I would all of a sudden feel so bad because this person was saying this. And nowadays, it feels good to understand, to be healthy emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. And you could, you're not affected by the negative energy. And avoidance of conflict, I just explained it just a few minutes ago. Avoidance of conflict, you just walk away. And one of the painful things in my culture, of I have heard what I have seen, was gossiping. Relatives, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, I've seen it. It destroys the harmony. It destroys the soul of a person to be downgrading and character assassinating somebody. That's not how we were brought up. I don't know why. My sister and I were just talking, and I said, why is it like that sometimes? Why is it so painful? Why do they hurt each other verbally and emotionally? And my sister said, maybe that's the only way they could find comfort in hurting somebody. So it is something that is in our family, in our entire culture. And one of the things that I have learned from my mom was don't tell. If you, like she said, kilik duranat, like, you know, the one person or two people are talking about this person, and it hurts like heck to hear that. And so my responsibility as a healthy person is say nothing. That's what she meant. Say, don't tell that other person what they were saying. That really, there's no harmony. It's disharmony. It creates a lot of hurt, pain. So it's better to just be kind to that person and those two people that you know. And so that's avoidance of conflict. Pahlak tautayu. And the most important thing in my life and in our culture is believe in something, spirituality, faith, belief. And this is my last session with all of you, and I will reiterate what I have been talking, because it's a personal experience, and what I am talking about is a spiritual essence of our Inupiaq culture. Whether it be a belief in a higher power, in God, the whaling, the hunting, the blanket toss, the Eskimo dancing, that is just the most awesome spiritual spirituality. That's the most awesome thing that we ever did, that involves the whole being of our soul, of our culture, of the Inupiaq. So if you have any questions?
I was actually wondering if in today's day and age, if everyone in like your area of the Inupiaq culture actually still follows all of these rules, or if that aren't as good as they can.
Nobody's perfect. There is no way that anybody, I guess, I take that back. I know some people that actually have all these characteristics. It's amazing. Whaling captains. They respect elders. They respect others. They respect the nature. The family kinship and roles is healthy. They share. They have knowledge of their language. They cooperate. They love and respect each other and for one another. They have humor. And they have the hunting tradition. They have compassion. They have humility. Avoidance of conflict. There's more than one person that I can know, that I know, that has these. And yes, you can have these in your life, instilled in your life. But for me, it still is a growing process. But that my responsibility is to share this with everybody, that we can respect elders, others, nature, and we can share, we can cooperate, we can love and respect one another, compassion and humility, avoidance of conflict, and spirituality. So I wish that for every human being. Before those war games, before TV, before all that negative stuff started coming into our culture, you know, there was continuous harmony within our culture. And it can be. It starts from us. It starts from each and every one of us. The respect for each other.
Do you know if any of the roles or the values have changed over the years? Certain ones like the family kinship and role, the spirituality and altered or evolved as you were different?
When I was growing up, this is the personal experience I knew. The whole family was together. We knew our grandparents, we knew the roles of the uncles and the aunts and the brothers and sisters. We were all together and helped each other. So nowadays it's broken. It seems like sometimes this certain family has their own job, their own family, and the other sibling, you know, has her own family, and they live on their own. They live here, the other brothers and sisters live farther down. You know, there's no, when I was growing up, everybody was living under one house. So that doesn't mean we can't be together. We can write to each other, we can talk to each other, we can have a family gathering together. And even if you're away in school or I'm away from the family, that doesn't mean I can't call them and say hi or write a card. That's very important, being connected, especially with the email. I think that's an excellent way of saying, hi, how are you, I miss you, even if somebody's way clear across the other country, you know. But it's just a matter of keeping it. Jamie?
Well, I guess I have two things. You're talking about kindness and respect for those who are hurting and not talking about their pain and, you know, gossiping. Uh-huh. And that reminds me a lot of human service, the value of confidentiality for human service workers. And I think that's really interesting that your culture has that without going to school, without learning about it. You just have it. I think that's really cool. And then my question was, you mentioned the blanket toss, and I don't remember us ever talking about that yet. I kind of know what it is, but I thought maybe you could talk more about it. Like, how it's done, when it's done, who gets to do it.
It's during the whaling, successful whaling celebrations, beginning of June, middle of June. Sometimes it falls on my birthday and I tell everybody, oh, they're celebrating my birthday, June 20th. So that's when it happened, the blanket toss. The blanket is made out of bearded seal skin. I think they cut it out from the boat and shape it into, you know, the blanket. So that's when we do the blanket toss.
And who gets to get tossed? Is it just certain people, or does everybody get to get on there?
If you want to be tossed, you go in there and pull on it. You participate, and they take turns. But in respect to the successful whaling captains and they themselves, whoever, the wife or the captain, can get in there and they'll have a bag of candy and they'll be tossed up and there'll be candy all over.
Oh, so they throw candy?
Uh-huh, yeah. One time, a whole bag didn't... The whole bag went in one direction. So, but it took... I remember. Oh, no! So I think... anyway, back to Blanket Toss. That's where it happens, but... You can be tossed so many times, even to the point where the people that are doing the pulling, they get tired. Mm. In the World Eskimo Indian Olympics, they do it different. It's I guess only once, and they try to touch the ceiling. That's not our culture, our Inupiaq culture. It's to just enjoy. A long time ago, they used to have a seal poke. A seal where long time ago, they used to keep the seal oil in a seal. Seal poke. They kept the seal oil in there. There was no, it was all one big seal and it's blown up or whatever, and they store the seal oil in there. And so a long time ago, I guess an empty one, they would use this to jump rope with the seal coat. Mm-hmm. And the last time I saw somebody do that was in the 80s or, yeah, late 80s. And I've never seen it happen. No, they used it for, you know, our people, the Inupiaq people, love competition. They excel in trying, in competing with each other, and that's good. It's okay in a healthy way if you compete, you know, the fastest runner, the one who can do that, the one who sharpshooted. Mom, I remember she won the shooting contest, sharpshooting. She was an excellent hunter, sharpshooting. The fastest seal spinner. The fastest fish cutting, you know. So that's, anyway, that's part of the blanket toss long time.
Have you done it?
When I first started it, I was young, and I practiced with the kids. The kids would be blanket tossing themselves, and I would get on the kids, and it's safer. They don't put you way up there. Really, that's what happened. One year I did that, and I was getting really confident, and wow, I could do it. And so the next thing I know, when I was able to do it and whatnot, I think I had gone home and changed or something. And then when I went back, it was done. I was so disappointed. I was really ready for the big people to put me on. I have pictures of me getting on there, and I was like maybe 45 or I don't know. There's a picture of me there. really screaming and never, you know, letting them do. So it's really scary. It is. Unless you like heights. Mm-hmm. Unless you have that ability that, to just be calm when somebody... Me, I can't. I just can't. So.
I was wondering, what are some of the ways of teaching the young people today to limit that value? How are they being taught?
How are they being taught?
Through school, or just through parents, or just through the elders? Like, how are today's kids learning about the limit that values?
I know for a fact with me, I don't care whose child it is, if I hear them cuss, if I see them yelling at their mom, their dad, I say something. It's our responsibility to let them know. That's my responsibility. And one of the most wonderful things that each and every one of you can do is to instill these values. It doesn't have to be specifically the INITAP values, but something that you yourself have known your elders to have taught you. I know you have a role model, one way or the other. In your culture, for they be an INITAP or in English or Tlingit or any, you know. I think it's just common that in our culture we know what works. So for you, you have children and teach them. But the most important thing is children learn what they need. Children learn what they need. They see you. If you like act in a different way and try to teach them these values, it's not going to work. You have to live the values in order to teach the children.
I was wondering about like the home values.
Uh-huh.
Like, where would you go?
Like, how to hunt?
Yeah. Like where would you
where?
Go?
I remember going camping with my uncle, Terry. And that was the first time I ever experienced having squirrel. Yeah. And we would see them make these delicacies. Like our dad, I remember watching him, or my mom watching her preparing the stomach, caribou stomach, and putting liver in there and stirring it. And I remember being a little baby or a little girl, mom, or my family putting up the net, taking the fish off, and it came back to me. When I was at the summer youth camp, I remember mom used to put the fish all together and put them in the water. Stick a, you know, put a stick there and put for, so that they won't get dried up. And I remember our mom teaching us how to snare birds. I remember a wire and putting a cloth on it and sewing the cloth onto the wire, a long wire, and you go down to the beach by the ocean and you set it up where it could snare birds. And I said, wow. Those were the times when we used to eat those little birds. We never do that anymore. And I saw some movie pictures of a long time ago. Where did those birds go? I remember there was a whole bunch of birds, you know, the ones that we eat or hunt or snare. Where are they? They're gone. That's unfortunate, but that was one of the things that I know. And one of the things that I know is our mom still hunted. I remember one year I was home and I just sensed it and I wanted to go seal hunting. So I went to my brother Roy and said, Roy, can I borrow your gun? And he said, for what? I want to go seal hunting. He never gave it to me. Darn. I sure wanted to go down there. It's instilled in you. I still want to do that when it's that time of the year, you know when to go down. So, but I do remember, I guess it was after he let me try to get ducks. That was my first experience of trying a shotgun. And the mistake was I put it by my face. That was a big mistake. And I think that instilled in my younger brother, no way, I'm not going to let Eden try a gun ever. So it's instilled in you. So whenever somebody tells you somewhere else, when you do have the speed, you want to go down there, especially in April. You want to go down there, participating, helping and watching them, kind of a help.
I was wondering if stories are used quite a lot to teach children. And stories that involve examples of like the different
values. The values? With stories?
Yeah, and also what values the missionaries try to change mainly.
Telling stories is an excellent way of getting to, you know, telling them about the value. Not so much as telling the values of, it's a matter of, they were very smart when they said, you better keep your hood on, otherwise the Northern Lights gonna cut it off and play ball with your head. We were small and we just never went out without ever putting our clothes on. Later on they said, oh yeah, they didn't want us to get married, so that's cool. So the missionaries, they abolished the Eskimo dance. Some churches, they said, do not Eskimo dance, do not smoke. You know, they made rules, man-made rules, which to me, that was the saddest thing that ever happened, I think, to maybe the elders that were living then in the missionaries' first thinking, that telling them not to do their dances, telling them don't speak your language, that was the worst crime ever done. To our culture, to our way of looking at culture. So they never took it away from us. It was always in our souls. It's in our soul, it's in our mind, it's in our spirit. There's no way not anybody can ever take anything away from you. It's a personal choice. But at that time, I think they liked it because, I don't know, we were happy, we were sharing, and I guess it happened. And I'm not happy that it happened through the church, through the mission. But today, our culture is strong. There is no way nobody could ever take it away from me. It's here. So it's an individual choice. It's a powerful spiritual essence of our culture. We're teaching our young people the values, the hunting skills, and training, and seal hunting, and the fermented warrior. That is so good. So, minute.
Which value would you teach your grandchildren if you only could choose one?
If only I could choose one?
Yeah.
Spirituality.
Spirituality?
Because it covers everything.
And which one was the hardest to learn?
For me, personally, the hardest to learn, humility. That was the hardest thing for me. Community.
So, what are you doing today to teach your grandkids your traditional life?
I live a violence-free, no alcohol, no drugs environment. I live with harmony and just being who I am, practicing my belief, being in balance, where I don't overdo one thing in my life. It's all I do certain things in balance. Not over indulging in one, you know. But foremost, I would I am there for them, my grandchildren.
So do you
use
stories and stuff like that to teach stories or examples?
Just the way I live. Like avoidance of conflict, sharing, respecting elders, others, nature, family kinship and role, sharing knowledge of language, cooperation, humor, love and respect for one another, hunting traditions, that's what I want them to learn too. And I'm glad they have a father that takes them out hunting. Compassion, humility, avoidance of conflict, foremost spirituality, which covers everything.
So in looking at other Inupiaq, what would you say when looking at values, if any of these have sort of fallen by the wayside, which one would it be in your perspective?
right now, this day, 2005?
Right.
Which ones they are not?
Well, which ones that you feel maybe are not lacking, but maybe, would be lacking, may not be in the forefront that you think should be?
Because of alcohol and drugs, the family kinship in roles is broken down. That's one of the things that is so painful to see. Because of drugs and alcohol, family kinship and roles, and then when you do drink and do drugs, then your respect goes out the window. And you don't share, you have no time for knowledge of language. You don't cooperate, you don't love and respect anybody, you're depressed, you're always angry, no humor, you're not participating in hunting traditions, you don't have no compassion for anybody, no humility, you have a lot of conflict, a lot of domestic violence, and no spirituality.
So all of them due to alcohol and drugs?
It's effective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If there was a few things that you, or what's the main thing that you want? But since this is our last interview, what do you hope that we learned, or one thing that we got out of the class that you really wanted to show us? It's kind of hard to question.
Instill.
Yeah, what kind of understanding?
That individuals are human beings, that we have two eyes and nose and a mouth, that there's no room for prejudice, whether you're from England or from India or from Connecticut?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can laugh, we feel, we hurt. It's time we start treating each other with respect. All people. And that way, they in turn will start treating each other with respect. So, it's not going out the window.
No.
We've taped some things, so we keep hearing something fall down. That's okay. That's all right. It's here. It's here. Yeah. It's in our heart. That's what I want you to take home. We need a director. The director and the producer. Oh, I'm gonna miss all of you. I really do. So I brought my address with me so you could have that. Yes, Terry.
You mentioned a steel post.
Uh-huh.
What was that in the...
It's a whole seal. Somehow, I can't remember how in the world. I remember Mom having one. It's a seal, and they keep it intact, or they would have, I cannot tell you how it's done, but it's a seal. It's a whole seal.
Have you seen the seal?
My mom still makes it.
Wow. I want to know.
Why don't you explain it?
Let's explain it to us.
The seal they would use is a ribbon seal. It's a mayak, you call it. But what they would do is, from the head, they would skin it, and then they'd separate the skin and the fat, like go inside all the way around from the top, probably to the back. So they would,
after they blow it up?
No, no, separating the skin from the fat.
After they cut it, it's like taking off a coat.
So, so they skin it, and it took my mom 5 years to finally make a skin without making a hole.
Wow.
Of, you know, separating the skin, and you have to dig your hands way inside, you know, to separate it.
Uh-huh.
And then when you're done, you take off the fat, the skin, and there's the seal with just the fat. And then there you work on it, and then what my mom would do is take that skin and soak it in some water, wash it.
They don't cut it in the middle?
They leave it whole.
They leave it whole?
And then they soak it, wash it, and they turn it inside out after the fur kind of dries up.
Uh-huh.
They turn it inside out so the fur is inside and the skin is outside. And then they'll blow it up.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll tie it.
Yeah.
And let the skin dry and harden.
Uh-huh.
And when it's complete, they'll blow it up to see if there's any holes.
Uh-huh.
It stays bloated, it's good then. And they'd open the top where the head was. They'd pour seal oil in there.
I remember,
and then
yeah.
They'd make pole fish or the salmon and pole herring. They put salmon, fish, cut up pieces of salmon.
Into that
they'd
seal oil.
They'd pull up that seal skin, and then they'd pour seal oil in.
Mm.
And then they'd let it sit there, and then that would make poke salmon, poke fish.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing they'll do is use herring fish. They'll cut and dry the herring. Once the herring's all dry, they'll put it in that seal skin, and then they'll pour oil, and they poke herring.
So they tie them somewhere?
At the top where the head was.
Where the head was?
Put some string in.
I remember.
They'll tie it.
So it's all intact, all around?
No holes, no nothing.
Because I do remember our mom having one. And I don't know how in the world they did it.
A lot of families use 5 gallon buckets these days. My mom still wants to learn.
Wow, that's excellent. That's fantastic. So you've watched her do it. Terrific. I highly recommend that you talk to your daughter.
When I'm done with college and I go back home and go to teach, there's no ways of hunting it. My good friend, Earl Atchak, knows how to make all kinds of aged food. The best.
Yeah. I think it's almost lunchtime. It's past lunchtime. I'm talking about.
Just very quickly, within the community of Darrow, how does Darrow respect the activities?
What kinds of activities do they do with the elders?
To respect the elders.
There's an elders and youth conference I know, and to there's healthy elders and not healthy elders. I think it's common knowledge in any community. You know who to approach as a mentor, or who to approach if you really want to know something of value. I think we all respect all elders, and that doesn't mean you have to tolerate what the unhealthy elders are doing, you know. But at home, they have a place of their own elders, senior center. And they go meals every day, except Sunday, Saturday or Sunday. So each family, they have elders in their families. For me, it was my mom, you know. And I still do respect the elders. My aunt is there, and so keeping the health. So that's something we teach them. When we do it, they learn. they see us. So, I know.
I think it's interesting which ones have stayed up.
Humility and compassion, yeah, and spirituality. We've been putting it up with the third one that's
done. And then if people want to,
yeah. And I don't think I've ever shared with anybody where I came from. Right up here. I always say I come from the top of the world. That's as far as you can go in the world, I think, at the top.
Where were you born? Where was the fish camp you were talking about?
Cactus around
over
here.
That way.
Yeah. It's near Canada.
Oh.
Cactus around
here.
Yeah. Aliga. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess next Thursday we'll have the potluck here. Yes.